You're listening to the Erica and McAfee podcast, where we share stories of grief and loss due to miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, and journeys of trying to conceive and infertility. Welcome to episode 11 of the Erica and McAfee podcast. October is here, and it is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. Today's podcast is brought to you by MyBabyExisted.com. Go to MyBabyExisted.com to download your free meme, download it, and upload your pictures to your favorite social platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and then use the hashtag MyBabyExisted. We remember our angel babies all month long and honor their existence in our hearts and minds. In today's episode, Aditi Leverage shares her pregnancy loss story and how healing tools helped her rediscover trust and inner power so she could engage in life again. After losing her first two pregnancies, she was stricken with shame, guilt, fear, and anxiety. The intensity of her emotions took her by surprise, and it was not until her rainbow baby turned one that her anxiety began to dissipate. She is a grief and pregnancy loss healer, coach, and mindfulness meditation teacher over at pregnancylosshealing.com. Well, thank you, Aditi, for agreeing to be a part of the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I would like for you to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and go into your loss story journey.
Okay. So my name is Aditi Leverage, and I am a wife. I am now a mother to a four-year-old who just started preschool today. I also own my own business. I am a pregnancy loss coach and healer and a mindfulness meditation teacher. So a little bit about my loss story. It's always hard to make your loss story short, but I will do my best. When I got married to my husband, I wasn't entirely sure that if we even wanted to have children. I actually thought that I wasn't going to have children just because I thought that I didn't want children. Mm-hmm. But then we got a dog. And right. And as funny as that sounds, I fell completely in love with this dog. I had never had a pet before, and this dog just took over my heart. And I started talking to my husband, and I was like, okay, you know what? I actually think I want to start a family with you, because he's an incredible man. And I decided that we would do that. So we went off birth control pill, and I didn't realize that I was pregnant. I had kind of a weird period, and I just didn't think I was pregnant. And then I started having quite severe abdominal pains one night, and I said, okay, I think I need to go to the hospital. And so we went to the hospital, and basically they did a pregnancy test without my knowing, and they came back and they said, well, you're pregnant, but we're pretty sure that you're losing it. So oh, wow. In that moment when they told me that I was pregnant, it was funny because I didn't even make the connection that I was losing it. I was just so ecstatic that I was pregnant.
Right.
And I felt so immediately connected to that pregnancy and to that idea that I was hopefully going to be a mother. And then it was a full week, actually, before I ended up getting actual diagnosis. And what ended up happening was I had to go in for emergency surgery because the pregnancy was an ectopic pregnancy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is when the embryo implants in the fallopian tube. So an ectopic pregnancy can't go full term at all. It's very life-threatening for the mom.
Right.
So I had to go for emergency surgery. And so before I even had time to process the fact that I was pregnant and then that I was losing it, the baby was gone even before I could really process anything. And it happened on Boxing Day of 2011, so the day after Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really tough thing. And then I couldn't find anybody that had an ectopic pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people had talked about miscarriage. My mom had spoken that she had had two miscarriages before me. Mm-hmm. I'm her rainbow child, but nobody had really had an ectopic. So I felt extremely alone mm-hmm. and confused and like it was my fault somehow because I wasn't sure what it was and why it was happening.
Right.
But so we took some time. We decided not to try again because it was quite traumatic for me, the whole experience and having to be in emergency surgery and everything. It was quite traumatic. So we took some time off. And then I think it was about 9 months later, we decided to try again.
Mm-hmm.
And after a few months, we discovered we were pregnant again.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately when we found out that I was pregnant, unfortunately, I didn't feel any joy. I was immediately stricken with anxiety and fear mm-hmm. and worry.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't want to go through that again. And all the doctors kept telling me, you know, my risk factors of having another ectopic. So I was quite worried. So they sent me for an early ultrasound. They sent me too early, so nothing was seen in my uterus. So they, of course, made me even more worried that it was another ectopic. They made me wait 2 weeks. That 2 weeks was extremely difficult. We went back and they did see the embryo in the uterus, and I was it still was too early for a heartbeat, but I was pretty excited that baby's where it's supposed to be, and I didn't even entertain really like another thought of a miscarriage. But then it was about a week before my 12-week ultrasound was supposed to happen, and I woke up one morning and all of my pregnancy symptoms were gone, and I just knew. I called my husband in tears and said, we have to go to the hospital. And so we went, and they said, the baby hasn't made it. And so they wanted me to do a DNC, but I was very adamant not to do another medical intervention because I didn't have the time to process the loss with the other one
mm-hmm.
Because it was surgically removed. So I made it very clear that I wasn't going to do that. So they said it could take some time for my body to recognize that it was miscarrying because I wasn't bleeding or anything of that sort. So it actually took 5 weeks before I miscarried.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that was quite a journey. And during that 5 weeks, I did a lot. There was a lot of emotion, but I did a lot of prayers. I did a lot of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I did a lot of personal development and becoming very aware of myself and trying to become strong and prepare myself for what was going to happen. And I wasn't prepared at all. Essentially, it was a birth that I gave birth essentially at home.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of the most empowering experiences for me. That sounds very strange because I gave birth not to a live baby. But at that point, when I found out I was miscarrying the second, I really lost a lot of faith,
mm-hmm.
a lot of faith in God or the universe or in pretty much everything. I lost faith in
right
in my body.
Right.
I really struggled with my body. And so even though I miscarried that second baby, I really tuned in and I was very present in the moment and tuned in with my body and my mind. And it was quite incredible to see that though it wasn't a live birth, my body knew exactly what to do.
Right.
That started to restill my faith in everything again.
Wow.
So it was quite a powerful moment for me. And I remember that night I was crying on the couch and I felt ready to try again.
Wow.
It was like a very cleansing moment for me. And I never felt so connected to myself before.
Wow. I've never heard anyone say it like that, being connected to yourself. So that's awesome. So when you were ready to try again, did you have any other anxieties or fears as you were trying again to get pregnant?
Yes. So I was completely stricken with fear, but obviously my desire to have a child was greater than the fear. Mm-hmm. Love is always greater than fear if we can tap into it, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely was the trying process for me. We got pregnant fairly quickly again.
Mm-hmm.
So the conception part wasn't so much what gave me anxiety. It was again when I found out I was pregnant with my now rainbow daughter. That is what gave me anxiety. Because I'd had the ectopic, I'd had the miscarriage, and so I was always I was just fearful of it. And it was just after 12 weeks in my pregnancy with my rainbow that I had bleeding for no reason. I had a gush of blood and called my husband crying, saying, we have to go to the hospital. I was convinced that we were losing the baby. And I looked at him and I said, if we lose this one, I'm done. I'm not going to try again. And I fully meant it.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to the hospital and they did the ultrasound and she was moving away and everything was fine. And they said they had no explanation what the blood was about and what the bleeding was about, and so that really heightened my anxiety further. Even though she was okay, I was just constantly feeling like the other shoe was going to drop.
Right.
And I think that's how I felt for the remainder of my pregnancy. When we went in for our 20-week ultrasound, I was, you know, everybody's all excited. Well, are you going to find out what you're going to have? Mm-hmm. So we went in with the mindset we're just going in to find out the sex of the baby. And then we were given the news that we had a 1 in 33 chance that she would have Down syndrome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it added in a whole other level of worry and just fear of the unknown. And so we decided to do a non-invasive blood test to get the results to see if she indeed was going to have Down syndrome. But the results for that blood test took 2 weeks to get mm-hmm. to come back to us.
Mm-hmm.
So during that 2 weeks, again, there was a lot of conversations with my husband and I, a lot of deep inner work, a lot of meditation. I meditate a lot of prayer, a lot of visualization, a lot of family support to finally get to a place for us where the answer was it didn't matter
mm-hmm.
what the results said. She was going to be our child regardless. Even thinking back about that time, I get chills because it was a hard time.
Right.
And I questioned God that time as well. I questioned the universe. Why is this happening to me? You know, why can't it just be smooth? But I fully know now why it wasn't smooth. I needed to have all these experiences.
Right.
To do the work that I do, because I get now the whole realm of loss and doubt and anxiety that can come with
right
pregnancy after loss. So
exactly.
And then my anxiety didn't go away even after we got the results, and I was right up until birth. I remember in labor I was very fearful. I just didn't feel like it was real. Like I didn't feel like she was gonna come. I was always a little bit disconnected, I think, because I was mm-hmm. trying to protect myself.
Yeah, I think that's the way we guard our hearts. We always are very, it's almost out of body, you know, it's almost like you're floating.
Yes.
You're floating through the pregnancy, you know, not trying to, you know, protecting yourself, your feelings and everything. Yeah, so I definitely mm-hmm. understand exactly what you mean. And when you mentioned the Down syndrome thing, that just popped back up in my head with my son. I forgot all about that we got those same diagnosis with him, and we had to go back and do that blood test as well, and he didn't have any markers for Down syndrome. I just thought about that. I had forgot all about it. You see, just
yeah.
How, yeah, I had forgot I all know. About that. Yeah, but yeah, I do remember that we had that same instance that happened with my first son that passed.
October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. Today's episode is brought to you by MyBabyExisted.com, a campaign created by me, Erica M. McAfee, to honor and show that our angel babies did exist. Go to MyBabyExisted.com to download your free meme and then share your pictures. Please post pictures of your ultrasounds, pregnancy bumps, positive pregnancy tests, and babies, and use the hashtag #MyBabyExisted to honor your angel babies all month long. We remember our angel babies during the month of October and honor them and their existence in our hearts and minds.
So what inspired you to start your coaching and coaching other lost moms?
Well, it's sort of like this work found me because, so before my daughter, I was a social worker.
Oh, okay.
But when, after my losses and when I gave birth to her, I knew I wanted to work from home. And I knew that I couldn't do that with social work or it would be very limited options.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to support women in pregnancy. So I became a doula.
Oh, okay.
And through my doula work on my website with my doula work, I never ever talked about my experience with pregnancy loss. And yet somehow God or the universe, whatever you want to call it, serendipity, I don't know what the right word is, but pretty much every client that ended up hiring me for doula services had experienced previous loss.
Wow. My goodness.
Yeah, it was incredible. And so I started really seeing the need of like more support beyond doula support, especially for the journey after loss, like the conception
to pregnancy. You know, you think about you back to if you would have had a doula during your experiences of trying again, you know, that could have helped ease some of your anxiety and the fears that you had. Awesome, man.
Yeah, so I had a doula for my labor, but I didn't have that person that I could openly talk to about how deep rooted my anxiety was. So like more of that mental health kind of support.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Somebody who could really understand it because they've been there.
Right.
They get it.
They do. Mm-hmm.
And so I started seeing that need, come up, and then, so I thought, well, what can I do? What can I do? So I took a baby loss advisor training with Cherokee Isle. She's amazing. So I became what, so if you are actually get the news that you are having a stillbirth or a miscarriage, I would go there and be like support for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you're actually giving birth to a stillborn or miscarrying your baby. So I did that training, but then again, still I was like, but what about the journey afterwards? Again, the conception and the pregnancy afterwards and the postpartum with right. your rainbow baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I became a life coach, and I didn't have any intention of like specializing in the pregnancy loss, but right after I finished my life coaching and I was starting to coach, one of my very, very close dear friends of mine, she lost her baby at 24 weeks and she invited me into the birth with her. So I was there, when her daughter was born and I supported her as a friend, afterwards, but that really, really showed me how much support is needed for the afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
when the world has seemingly moved on and you right. are still you're still trying to navigate the waters of loss.
Right, of loss and then postpartum depression that could come mm-hmm. and all of the above. Awesome. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, like, when do we try again? Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with trying again because I just want another baby so desperately.
Yeah.
And now I'm pregnant again and how do I for me, my lesson from my pregnancy with my rainbow daughter was that disconnection robbed me of so much joy.
Right.
And I really just don't want that for other women who are pregnant again after loss. Mm. I want them to experience joy irregardless of the outcome.
Right. You want them to be able to celebrate those milestones and be present and to, you know, be able yes. to go to the stores and, you know, do the baby shopping and just be joyful about the entire
yes,
pregnancy because
be
God has blessed, yeah, God has blessed them with another pregnancy. You should be joyful that you've made it, you know, 20 weeks, 24 weeks, 30 weeks that you've gotten that far. So, no, that is
exactly.
awesome.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly it. And so I felt looking back, I have big regret in that area. And so I wish for other moms to not wake up in the same position as me.
Wow. So let's transition and talk about just the benefits of coaching. You know, why do those who've experienced loss need someone to talk to about their loss?
So, number one, sharing our stories, as I'm sure you know, Erica, with doing the podcast and connecting with other moms who have experienced loss, sharing our stories in and itself is immensely powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Having that connecting, sharing our joy, sharing our pain, sharing our worries, knowing that we truly are not alone in our emotions and our feelings. Number one, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, coaching really helps you to gain clarity. Mm-hmm. So it's a client-led conversation. So I would never lead the conversation. So whatever's on your mind, you talk about it. But I help you see the challenges or the roadblocks that you're experiencing in your life from a different perspective.
Right.
And coaching isn't a fixing a conversation. And that's what I think the biggest takeaway is I'm not here to fix. I cannot, unfortunately, fix the fact that you have lost a baby or that you're experiencing this pain. What I can do is help you create a future that you want. So again, helping you create those moments of joy, help you find and connect to your pregnancy, help you connect to yourself, help you deepen your spiritual practice, do all of those things that mm-hmm. Will essentially enhance the quality of your life.
Right. No.
And so what do people get out of it is exactly that. They feel they have more self-esteem. They have they actually go forward with plans. So they feel more confident because you also have somebody you can check in with, which mm-hmm. is nice to keep you on track. And then I give you specific tools that maybe yourself, you know, when you're stuck in a rut and you're experiencing a problem, you usually deal with problems the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So I give you tools and how to deal with challenges or conflicts in a different way.
Right.
Sometimes those work and sometimes they don't. But we will chat about why it didn't work. And usually there's a reason why it didn't work.
Right.
So we talk about all of that. And it just helps you create kind of the life that you're wanting for yourself.
Yes, awesome. So what kind of coaching do you do? Are you still involved in the doula services, and then you do also do loss coaching and then the postpartum support as well?
Yeah, so I have a separate business that I do doula support with, so that, 'cause that's local to where I live.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But the coaching, yes, so I do it over the phone, just how we're doing it via FaceTime or Skype for anybody in the world. I have a lot of clients in the States, actually.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot what the question was.
So we were talking about the doula, and then we were talking about just the types of coaching that you do. All the types of coaching, yeah.
My coaching is, it's mostly all of the clients that I have, I coach them for the journey sort of after. So when you're in that conception phase mm-hmm. after loss or when you're pregnant, I'd say 90% of my clients are either trying to conceive or are pregnant again after loss. So we go through how to be present. So I'm a mindfulness based, coach. So I work a lot with how to connect with yourself to reduce that anxiety and that worry and that fear, and how to connect with your present moment as opposed to letting the past dictate a future that probably isn't going to happen.
Wow. Awesome.
So it's about connecting to the present. Most of my coaching is about that. And we do a lot of meditation, which goes very well if you are a person of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation and prayer kind of go very hand in hand.
Hand. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So what advice for those moms that are out there that are listening that are kind of on the fence of trying again, or they are in that process of trying again and they do have that anxiety and that fear in their hearts, what advice would you give them so that they can continue to move that needle and move forward with the ultimate goal of having a baby, you know, for God to grant them the desires of their heart?
That's a good question. I think for me, it's number one, work through the grief. Don't try to skip over the grief to get to the joy. You really need to work through the grief, sit with it, be with it, allow it to be present in your life. And then after, as you're doing that, continue to be present, go through the darkness so that you can be present in your current reality, so that you can actually connect and feel the joy. Because trying again to conceive a child, being pregnant with another child, there is joy in it. If you allow yourself to connect with it, you will feel it, and it will be so much better than living in anxiety and looking back and not remembering your pregnancy because you were so disconnected.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. That's some awesome advice. So what other resources that are out there that you can give the listeners that they can tap into, your personal website and then any other resources that you know that are out there for lost moms?
Definitely. So my website is pregnancylosshealing.com, and I have a whole bunch of free healing tools on my website, which are really easy to use. So those, and for different phases, depending on where you are at in your loss journey. Mm-hmm. So those are up on my website. And I am also a contributor writer for Still Standing magazine. Find that community of Still Standing magazine is amazing. There's a whole bunch of all the contributors have had various losses, and they write about their stories throughout the journey of loss, conception, after, rainbow babies, fertility. So it's such an amazing way to connect to other moms just by reading their words. Words are powerful.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I would say those are my two go-tos.
No, those are great. Those are awesome. And I'll definitely make sure I link them in the show notes for everyone to visit your website. So where can people reach you if they're interested in getting some, or just finding out more about you and reaching out to you for some coaching? Where can we reach you on social?
Social media, I'm on Facebook, it's Pregnancy Loss Healing, and on Instagram, it's Pregnancy Loss Healing. And I offer a free call for anybody who is kind of interested and wants to see what it's about, because I understand not everybody understands what I do. And so if you just want to talk and chat, I've done free coaching calls over the phone, and then you can see what the work actually is and see if we have a connection and if it's for you. And then if it is, then we go from there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Aditi, for being a part of the podcast. I pray that those individuals that are listening are more inspired about getting a coach, what a coach is, what they need to do as far as their healing and on their grief journey.
Thank you so much, Erica. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I pray that this show was inspirational and a blessing to you. The show notes and links for today's podcast can be found on ericaandmcafee.com/podcast episodes. Now it's time for you to tell your story. Visit ericaandmcafee.com for more information on how to be a part of the show. You can follow me on social at Erica M. McAfee everywhere on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I would love for you to join the community. We need your feedback on the Erica M. McAfee podcast. For those of you listening in iTunes, please go to iTunes and rate and review the show. Keep the faith, and I will talk to you next Wednesday.